to Father Traves, number 3, Grace, Mercy, and Peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, with increase of all manner of godly knowledge and living, be with you all, be with you and all your household, now and forever. Amen. To excuse this, my long silence, within 5 or 6 days after my like foolish letters written to you by John Moss, it pleased God to send my master hither to London, whom, as I lately before had advertised by letters, I moved, you know wherein, and prayed to him to discharge the same, or else I would submit myself, etc., whereunto he answered, that if the books would declare it, he would satisfy, etc. The books I showed, whereupon he promised as much as I could ask, but being herein something more moved than he had cause, God be praised therefore, which of his mere good pleasure wrought it, at times as I could, I desired to know how, and in what time he would discharge us both. He, thinking me to be over curious herein, was not therewith contented, and hearing me to allege the uncertainty of time, and the fear of God's justice, which, O gracious Lord, grant me to feel indeed, as much as thou knowest good for me, he answered me to be scrupulous, and of a superstitious conscience, for animalis homo non persecit, ea quae sunt dei, and plainly said further that I should not know, nor by these words have his head so under my girdle. And when I showed him that, God witnessed with me, I went about no such thing, he said that there was no godly conscience, seeing he promised afore the face of God to discharge me and to pay the thing, but it ought so to be quieted, at thus in divers and sundry times, moving eftsoons to know of him the way and time of discharging the debt, and having none other answer than before, I, doubting worldly wisdom, which useth delays, to reign in him with this mammon, the which, O merciful God, eradicate out of his heart, mind, and all others, I was something more sharp, and told him, non ego tamen sed gratia tua domine, I would obey God more than man, the which he lightly regarding, as seemed, I departed and went to Master Latimer, to have had him to have brought me to my Lord Protector, whose grace then was purposed shortly to take his journey to visit the ports. Master Latimer, I say, willed me to stay until his return, which will not be long before Easter. In this meantime I bade my bedfellow, my master's son, whom my master had used as his instrument to move me carnally, for my master discharged him of his exhibition, telling him that he could not be able to keep either house or child, for I purposed to undo both him and all his, untruly thou knowest, good Lord, and bade him to take that as a warning, that both he and his brethren should provide for themselves as they could. I bade, I say, that my said bedfellow to show my master, as of himself, my further purpose. The thing, when he knew it, it so moved and feared him, that he began something to relent, and then made fair promises, that look what I should devise, that would he do. I devised, but my devices pleased him not, and thus, but not vainly, I trust, as I now do with you, but I know your gentleness, which ever hath borne with me. I spent the time in which I have been silent to write, nay, babble to you. And he, departing out of London, before I knew, did send me word by another of his said sons, not so given to the gospel and a good life according as my bedfellow, and therefore more to be suspected, for though pietas non est suspiciosa, as I should think myself rather impious, yet Christ bade us to be prudentes sicut serpentes. This other brother, I say, told me that my master would do all things, only his fame and ability preserved, et quid protest totum mundum lucari anime vero jacturum facere. And with the said brother, my master sent me a little billet also, wherein he confessed that he was contented within 12 months to deliver to my hands, the whole money, which bill, I thinking not so good as it might have been, have devised another, and have sent it down to him in the country, with request that he will seal and sign it. For thus Master Latimer thinketh sufficient, but as yet I hear not of it, doubting worldly wisdom, which was the whore that overcame Samson, that moved David to slay Uriah, that brought wise Solomon to idolatry, that crucified Christ, the which moved me to perpetrate hoc facinus, the which worked in my master's heart, having higher place there than Simur Domini. What say I? There? Yea, with me it sitteth in the holy place, the Lord deliver us. Doubting, I say, worldly wisdom, I remain in that same state now for this matter, though in worse for my soul, which is more to be lamented. Pray, therefore, I beseech you, pray with me, and for me, and for me, that I may do so earnestly, that I was in at my last writing unto you. And as I then was purposed, so I doubt not, grant it, Lord, but that I shall persevere, if in the mean season I shall not hear from my master accordingly. Thus I have, like myself, foolishly but truly declared unto you in many babbling words, which wit, if I had it, would have shortly and briefly comprehended, arrogant, nay, God's working unthankful wretch, my working in this matter, which is, and was, the only cause, as I now do. I troubled you not afore, to the intent I might advertise you with some certainty in this thing. And though silence had been much better than this foolish prating, yet your fatherly kindness ever towards me in expecting from you correction, as I have herein given cause, may, though not to you, yet to me, be profitable. In hope whereof, I proceed in requiring you to continue your remembrance of me, most unkind wretch, to God and you in your prayers with the Almighty Merciful Lord, that I may more regard his will and pleasure herein than all honor or shame in this life. But I must confess unto you that my working in this matter is not of love, as I should do, nor of fear of God's justice. Mine unthankfulness, if nothing else were, hath not only deserved it, but doth deserve more than everlasting damnation. O Lord, be merciful unto me. I do not so repent as I should do. Why say I so? As though this were anything. O hypocritical wretch that I am, alas, Father Traves, let me so call you. I am hard-hearted. There was never any so obstinate, so unkind, against so loving, so merciful, so gracious, so good, so beneficial a Lord, yea, a Father, as I, wretch and most miserable sinner, am. This I speak, but not of humility, but of hypocrisy. Yet I speak truly. I pray thee, good Father, for Christ's sake, I may think it truly, as I write it even of arrogancy, so it is. Therefore pray and cry for me. Here be such goodly, godly, and learned sermons, which these uncircumcised ears of mine hear, at the least thrice a week, which were able, the great loving mercy of God, offered to me in them, I mean, to burst any man's heart, to relent, to repent, to believe, to love, and to fear that omnipotent, gracious Lord. But my adamantine, obstinate, most unkind, ingrate, unthankful heart, fearing my Lord, which is the Lord over all lords, so graciously, so lovingly, vouchsafed by so many his instruments, to speak, to call, to cry unto me, now by his law, now by his threats, now by his gospel, now by his promises, now by all his creatures, to come even to himself. I hide me with Adam in the garden. I play not only Samuel running to Eli, but I play Jonas running to the sea, and there I sleep upon the hatches, tumbling in Jezebel's bed, quod est afflicto maxima, until it please God to anoint mine eyes, collirio, until it please him to raise up a tempest, to turn and to look upon me, as Luke saith he did on Peter. For, O Lord, it is thy gift, and cometh of thee, and of thy mere grace. It cometh not of man, it cometh not of works, to repent, to believe, to fear, and to love. Work thou therefore in me, for Jesus Christ's sake, which am thy creature, and most unthankful hypocritical servant, not when I will, nor as I will, but when thou wilt, even that which may be most to the glory of thy name. Amen. What should I write? Nay, why do I not pluck these same words in paper and pieces? For I write altogether of hypocrisy and arrogant presumption. I will confess it, thou wicked spirit, the Lord judge thee. I will confess it, it is most true, John Traves. I but only write it, for it is not I, it is hypocrisy, scientia, if I had it, in flaret. O Lord, grant me thy grace, and leave me not to mine own judgment and reason. Hypocrisy, arrogancy, and obstinate security environ me, yet I feel them not. The Lord deliver me. Pray for me. Give God thanks for me. O Lord, even tua fiat voluntas, unlock this mine heart, thou which hast the key of David, which openest only that I may desire to have the desire of the glory of thy name, of repentance, faith, etc. Pray for me and be thankful for me, O Father Traves, and write to me. Your letters I desire more to see than any man's living. Let me have them, therefore, as you may, but your prayers at all times, that God would open mine heart to feed and taste of these comfortable places of Scripture, which to me are lots. Memento, Jesum Christum resurrexis et mortuis. This text, as a text of most comfort, as it is indeed, and when God will, I shall feed on it, did Paul send to Timothy to be his comfort in all places. For our salvation, this day of resurrection, is nearer now than when we believed. Therefore, qui preserveravit salvus erit, for consummabitur prevaricatio, saith Daniel, finem excipiet peccatum, delibetur iniquitas, et adducitur justitia sempiterna. I'm going to skip to all this Latin. There's like many sentences of it, and I can't pronounce it. O Lord, open mine eyes, which see nothing of the great comforts in these thy most rich words. Open mine eyes, good Lord. Pray for me and commend me to your good bedfellow. Thus I make an end, for it is time, you may say, and I pray you still. Water, Sir Thomas Hall, unto whom I have sent a fair testament, both in English and Latin, if this bringer will carry it. And I have herewith sent you a letter, which first peruse and read, and when you have done so, abhor not me, but my wickedness, and pray for me. And as you can see a meet time, seal it, and deliver it to Sir Nicholas Wallstonecross, by such policy as you can think, by God's grace, through prayer. I confess unto you, God is my witness, to my knowledge, I never, in my being in the country this winter, at any time called it to remembrance. The Lord forgive me. I would by some occasion, if any could be had, afore the delivery of the letter, by some story or communication, that he did not know the abomination to be sin, for I fear me he thinketh it to be no sin. The Lord open our eyes and forgive us. Amen. The peace of God be with you. Amen. From the Temple, this 22nd of March, 1547. Yours in Christ most bounden, John Bradford. I have sent you three pairs of good spectacles, I trow, and other such books as have your name written in them, which take in good worth, and pray for me, and give thanks for me. Gratia misericordia et pax, etc. My chance is not by this bringer to have any warning in manner of this farewell, so that I am constrained, time coarcting me, to write not so much of things, which I will omit, as my desire was, concerning the great matter you know of. It hath pleased God to bring it to this end, that I have a bill of my master's hand, wherein he is bound to pay the sum afore Candlemas next coming. This Master Latimer thinks to be sufficient. Therefore I pray you to give that gracious Lord thanks, and thanks and thanks upon it, for me a most wretched and great sinner, which have also, in other things, no less cause to praise God's name. As for that I have and sustain my master's sore displeasure, the which hath brought me, God I should say, through it, unto a more contempt of worldly things, through the sequestration of such his business, as before I had ado with all, I call it a contempt. Well, take the word even as it is hypocritically and vaingloriously spoken. For the which fault, amongst my others innumerable, I trust you remember in your prayers, whereof I have, would I knew how much, need. There is yet another thing whereof I will advertise you, even to this end, that you might pray, if it be God's will, that as I trust shortly to begin, so he may vouchsafe to confirm that he hath begun, as, if I be not deceived, I believe it is his working. If the thing seen by God's Spirit in you, that I presume, then for the Lord's sake, advertise me, for I am much given to that disease. The Lord deliver me. I have moved my master therein already by letters, to see if I shall have any living of him as hitherto I have had, but I have thereof no answer, nor, as our natural speech is, any likelihood of any grant. Yet that I have already, I trust, will suffice me for 3 years. You look what my purpose meaneth. I am so long afore I come to it. Therefore I do it, because my long babbling should be less tedious. Now shall you have it. If God's will be, whereunto pray I may be obedient, I am minded afore midsummer to leave London to go to my book at Cambridge, and, if God shall give me grace, to be a minister of his word. Thus you have of a fly an elephant. Well, take it in good part, though you see my etiam non, and not etiam etiam. A tumbling stone gathereth no moss, so therefore pray for me, perchance I do foolishly to forsake so good a living as I have. I will say no more hereof, but pray for me. I trust, as I said, for 3 years' study I have sufficient, if my master take all from me, and when this is spent, God will send more. I do not write this, that you should think me to be in need of worldly help, and therefore, as friars were wont secretly to beg. No, in the Lord's name, I require you not to take it so, for I had rather never sent letter, afore I should be here and across to you, for sufficit sua dei afflicto, we are more set by than many sparrows. But if my mother, or Sir Thomas Hall, murmur at it, or be offended with me, as you can, remedy it in your with your counsel. Howbeit, as yet I will not write of them of it, until such time as I be going. I am something fickle-minded and unconstant, therefore pray for me that my hand being put to the plow, presumptuously spoken, I look not back. You may gather by my words in this letter the heroical heart which lieth in me. I have sent you a book of Bucer against Winchester, in English, lately translated, which I never read, therefore I cannot praise it. And as I call to remembrance, I did send you with the other books more than you received. At the least, one of them, I remember, which is called The Commonplaces, or The Declaration of Faith, by Urbanus Regius. Ask for it, or send me word in whom the default is. You have it not. Hereafter, and that shortly by God's grace, I will send you, Primitiae Laborum Meorum, a work or two which I have translated into English, so soon as they be printed, which will be afore Whitsuntide. Pray for me, good Father Traves, and God send you health of soul and body, as I would mine own or any man's living, but yet to warn you, of that you know not, in writing your letters to me, you hit me home, and give me that I look for. You are deceived, and so are all that know me. I never came to any point of mortification. Therefore a little tickling sets me afloat. God help me, and give God thanks for me, as all men be most bounden. Thus when I once begin to write to you, I run, as the priests say of matins, for I think I may be bold on you. The Holy Ghost preserve you, your wife, and family, and preserve his grace in you unto the end. I pray you pray for me, a most, what I should call me, miserable and blasphemous sinner. The peace of God be with us. From the Temple, this 12th of May, 1548. Sir Thomas Hall hath deceived me, but himself most. I desire to speak with him, as this winter it may chance, if I discharge not myself of mine office, to see him. Pray for him and for me, a very hypocrite, John Bradford. To Father Traves, number 5. The perseverance of God's grace, with the knowledge of his good will, increase with you unto the end, to declare myself, as I am, a carnal man, which understand not the things that be of the Spirit. These my letters, though I counterfeit and meddle amongst them the spiritual words, as the devil did in his temptations to Christ, will declare not less, for I begin with carnal things in effect, and no marvel if I so end. For how can a man gather figs of briars? These words, as they seem, so they are spoken for a cloak to make you think otherwise. But, Father Traves, you cannot think so evil of me as I am. But to the matter. This present day, by God's grace, I take my journey towards Cambridge, where, I pray God, and so earnestly I pray you to pray for me, that I may be circumspectly redeemed this time, which God hath appointed to me unknown, to lend me. For alas, I have spent most wickedly the time past, for the which I must account, even for every hairbreadth, as they say, for God hath not given here time to sin. But if I consider this, as I do nothing less, custom of sin and pleasing myself hath so hardened my heart, I should then come to the feeling of myself. Then should I hate sin, which I now love. Then should I fear God's wrath, which I now contemn. Then should I cry out and weep, and continually pray, whereas now I am as dry as a stone, as dumb as a nail, as far from praying as he that never knew any taste of it, which thing once I felt, thanks to the Lord. But now, for mine unthankfulness, I am almost, but most worthily, deprived. I fear me God will take his grace from me. I am so unthankful. Alas, why do I lie in saying, I fear me? Nay, God grant I may do so, for then should I pray and pray. But seeing I cannot, speak you for me, pray for me, that the Lord would remember his old compassion towards me. For his mercy's sake, draw me, yea, compel me, to serve, to fear, and to love him. Thus may you see how I presume, for my intent was to have been a minister of God's word, to have been his instrument, to call from him, as I have called, to sin. But you see how that God punisheth mine arrogancy. Alas, what shall I do? I am an unprofitable and idle, and an idle member. I thought I should have been therein profitable, but medice cura tiempum. How should I? Or what should I do? I cannot labor with my hands. Well, I trust God will give me grace and knowledge to translate. Nothing I fear me, yea, I distrust me, that I shall never be minister of God's word. Yea, if arrogancy were not in me, how should I, of all riches the greatest, think me to look to the highest room and vocation that is upon earth? Therefore, eftsoons, I desire you to pray for me, that God's will may be done in me, whether I live or die, so that his name be honored. My master, which was, hath denied me all his beneficence. But I have for this life more than enough, thanks be to God, as this winter I intend by God's favor to declare more unto you. This book which I have sent, take it in good part. It is the first, I trust, it shall not be the last. God hath appointed me to translate. The print is very false, I am sorry for it. I pray you not be offended at my babbling in the prologues, etc. John Bradford. I will lie, God willing, this summer at Catherine's Hall in Cambridge. Write to me. To Father Traves, number 6. The loving kindness and abundant mercy of God the Father poured plentifully upon all the faithful in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of that meek Lamb, Jesus Christ, our only satisfaction and mediator, through the working of the Most Holy Spirit, be increased and perceived in you daily more and more to the glory of God, etc. Because I stand both in doubt of the reading and delivery of such letters as I write and send unto you, dearly beloved Father Traves, I am constrained to leave off such griefs and spiritual wants as, thanks unto the Lord, I unwillingly feel. For the flesh, as you know, loveth nothing so much as security, of all enemies most perilous, and not a little familiar with me. For the which, with vainglory, hypocrisy, etc., and worldliness, the Lord deliver me. I had not thought to have written thus much, but these I cannot keep, but commit them to your prayers. And to the intent I would you should not think any ingratitude in me, and also that I might give you occasion to write to me again, as heretofore I have done, even so do I interturb and trouble you with my babbling, but yet having this commodity, that I babble not so much as I am wont to do. The cause I have declared, which had almost been the cause, I had not written at all. I did write unto you from London when I came hither. Send me word what letters you have received. For from you I have received but two, and both by John Moss, and in the latter I perceived that the Lord had visited you with sickness, his fatherly rod, whereby he declareth his love unto you, and that he careth for you. The one then you had, so that you were going a schooling to learn the other, which learnt what want you. The end of all God's proving is, as Paul saith, ut impertiat nobis sanctimonium, eager gratias age Deo Patre, qui idoneum tu fecit ad participationem sortis sanctorum in lumine, etc. And that the Lord knoweth how eripere pios e tribulatione, and that in tempore opportuno, even shortly, for aud tardat qui promisit me modicum tempus et videbis me. Why, Bradford, whom writest unto thou? Thou showest thyself. Thus, Father Traves, you may see my rashness to rabble out the scripture without purpose, rhyme, or reason. I will not blot it out, as I thought to have done, for that thereby you shall see my need of your prayer. Well, I look for a watchword from you. Write for God's sake, and pray for me that I may be in something profitable to the Lord's congregation, that I may be no stumbling block. send me such counsel as the Lord's Spirit shall move you how to study. My desire is in something to be profitable, if it were the Lord's will. Alas, I am unmeet, and my time, yea, the Lord's time, I have hitherto evil, yea, most wickedly misspent it, etc. Thus will I end. The Lord be with you and your bedfellow, to whom have me heartily commended, and to all your children and family, the which I beseech the Lord to lighten his countenance over you, and grant you his peace. Pray for me. I long for winter to speak with you. Pray for me. This Assumption Day in Catherine's Hall in Cambridge. Yours with all I have and can, John Bradford. To Father Traves, number 7. The plentiful grace of God the Father, through our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ, increase in us daily to the glory of his name. Amen. For as much as I have often written unto you, good Father Traves, and yet have not once heard from you since Pentecost, I cannot now be so bold, either in writing much or often, as I would have been. Howbeit this I say, that I much marvel that I hear not from you, but not so, for I am so wretched a sinner, that the Lord's Spirit, I am certain, doth not move you to write to me. Yet for God's sake, pray for me, and in the Lord's name I desire you to give thanks to God for me. And when it may please God to move you, write to me, though it be but 2 words, and counsel me how to study the Word of Life, the ministry whereof I desire, if it be the Lord's pleasure to profess, and that it may do it both in living and learning, pray for me. I know not what I shall see, when I shall see you in body, therefore let me hear from you. I write not this, but you should thank me in Egistiat aut Angustis esse. No, Father, the Lord giveth me omnia apatem, and I will do. I trust I shall shortly here have a fellowship. I am so promised, and therefore I have taken the degree of Master of Arts, which else I could not have attained. If I get a fellowship, I shall not need de crastino solicitus esse, as hereafter I shall move more right to you by God's grace. I pray you write again, and often pray for me. In haste, as appeareth, the 22nd of October, J. Bradford. To Father Traves, number 8. The peace and plenteous mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, in His Christ, our only Lord and Savior, be ever increased in you by the Holy Spirit. Qui efficit omnia in omnibus. Amen. Father Traves, though I might think myself more happy if you would often write unto me, because I ought to have respect to your pains, which now that old man cannot so well sustain as I might. I had rather lose my happiness in that behalf than will your grief, forasmuch as it can be no happiness unto me, which turneth to your pain. Yet, because pain is not painful when it is joined with gain, I therefore desire you, for God's sake, to pray often for me. For if I shall not be worthy of your prayer, as the Lord, who knoweth all things, doth right well see it, and so my conscience witnesseth, your good prayer shall return into your own bosom. And I know this, that whoso converteth a sinner by prayer, whether it be by prayer, preaching, or writing letters, etc., that the same hath saved a soul. Use, therefore, for God's sake, I ask it, that pains whereunto is joined profit, I mean prayer to God for me, a miserable and most wretched sinner. And as for the gainless pain in writing to me, use it yet as you may, and surely God, for whose sake you do it, in that he will reward a cup of cold water, will in something requite you. And I know certainly that if you did see what spiritual profit I receive by your letters, I am certain you would not think all your labor lost. For Christ's sake, therefore, begin again to write unto me, and reprove me sharply for my horrible unthankfulness to God. You know how that God hath exonerated my loaden conscience of the great weighty burden, for so I did write to you. Yea, the Lord hath in a manner unburdened me of the lesser burden also, for I have an assurance of the payment of the same by Candlemas. Lo, thus you see what a good God the Lord is unto me. O Father Traves, give thanks for me, and pray to God to forgive me my unthankfulness. But what should I rehearse the benefits of God towards me? Alas, I cannot. I am too little for all his mercies. Yea, I am not only unthankful, but I am too far contumelious against God. For as you know, the sun, the moon, and the seven stars did forsake me, and would not shine upon me. You know what I mean, for harem et perilis amicos. Yet the Lord hath given me here in the university as good a living as I would have wished. For I am now a fellow of Pembroke Hall, for the which neither I nor any other for me did ever make any suit. Yea, there was a contention betwixt the master of Catherine Hall and the Bishop of Rochester, who is master of Pembroke Hall, whether should have me sit hoc tibi dictum. Thus you may see the Lord's carefulness in me. My fellowship here is worth £70 a year, for I have allowed me 8 pence a week. I'm sorry, that was £7 a year, for I have allowed me 18 pence a week, and as good as 33 shillings 4 pence a year in money, besides my chamber, launder, barber, etc., and I am bound to nothing but once or twice a year to keep a problem. Thus you see what a good Lord God is to me, but I pray you, what do I now to God for all this? What do I now to God for all this? I will not speak of the great mercies he showeth unto my soul. Surely, Father Trace, I have clean forgotten God. I am all secure, idle, proud, hard-hearted, utterly void of brotherly love. I am envious and disdain others. I am very stark, a very stark hypocrite, not only in my words and works, but even in these my letters to you. I am all sensual, without the true fear of God, another manner of man than I have been since my calling. Alas, Father Traves, I write this to put myself in remembrance, but I am without all sense. I do but only write it. For God's sake, pray for me, which am only in name a Christian, in very deed a very worldling, and to say to you the very truth, the most worldling of all others. I pray you exhort my mother now and then with my sister Margaret to fear the Lord, and if my mother had not sold the fox fur which was in my father's gown, I would she would send it to me. She must have your counsel in a piece of cloth. Yours forever, John Bradford. To Father Traves, number 9. The selfsame mercy, grace, and peace which heretofore I have felt plenteously, though now, through mine unthankfulness and willful obedience to the pleasure of this outward man, I neither feel, neither can be persuaded that I possess, yea, if I shall truly write, I in manner pass not unto the same, upon the same, so far am I fallen, the Lord help me, the same mercy, etc. I say I wish unto you as I can, with all increase of godliness, hypocritically with my pen and mouth, beseeching you in your earnest prayers to God, to be an earnest suitor unto God for me, which am fallen into such a security, and even a hardness of heart, that neither I sorrow my state, neither with any grief or fear of God's objection do I write this. Before the Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, I lie not. Consider for Christ's sake, therefore, good Father Traves, my necessity, though I myself do it not, and pray for me that God cast me not off, as I deserve most justly. For whereas I ought to have well proceeded in God's school, by reason of the time, I confess it to my shame, I am so far gone back, as alas, if shame were in me, I might be ashamed to write it, but much more to write it, and think it not. Such is the reward of unthankfulness. For whereas God wrought the restitution of the great thing you know of, the which benefit should bind me to all obedience. Alas, Father Traves, I am too unthankful. I find no will in heart, though by my writing it will be hard to persuade you, either to be thankful, either to begin a new life, in all things to mortify this outward man, and heartily to be well content to serve the Lord in spirit and verity, and withstand mine affections, and especially my beastly sensuality in meat and drink, wherewith I was troubled at my being with you. But now, through my licentious obeying that effect, I am fallen so that a whole legion spiritum malorum possesseth me. The Lord, whom I only with mouth, my heart still abiding both in hardness and willfulness, call upon, deliver me and help me, and for God's sake give you hearty thanks for the great benefit of restitution. Pray to the Lord that at the length I may once return to the obedience of his good will. Amen. I thank you for your cheese, and so doth Father Latimer as unknown. For I did give it to him, and he saith he never did eat better cheese, and so I dare say he did not. I thank him. I am as familiar with him as with you, Yea, God so moveth him towards me, that his desire is to have me come and dwell with him whensoever I will, and welcome. This do I write yet once more to occasion you to be thankful for me to the Lord, which by all means showeth nothing but most high love to me, and I again a very obstinate rebellion. Pray therefore me in haste. The sinful John Bradford. In the month of May before, mention was made of certain letters directed from the King and the Queen to Bonner, then being Bishop of London, besides which letters certain others had been directed a little before from the Council to the said Bishop, by occasion of which letters Bonner not long after caused a certain declaration to be made at Paul's Cross by Chedzi unto the people to purge and wash himself from the common and general suspicion of cruelty which was spread abroad of him among the common people, the copy of which his declaration I thought here not to suppress, but in this place to set it forth. A declaration made at Paul's Cross by Dr. Chedzi, at the commandment of Bonner, then Bishop of London. My Lord Mayor, Master Alderman, Master Sheriffs, and all you here now assembled, my Lord Bishop of London, your ordinary, hath desired me to declare unto you all that upon Friday last he did receive two letters from the court. The one came from the King's and Queen's Majesties, the other from their Majesties' Privy Council. The effect of that letter which came from the Privy Council was concerning procession and prayer to be made for the obtaining and concluding of peace between the Emperor's Majesty and the French King. The effect of that letter which came from the King's and Queen's Majesties was for the charitable instruction and reformation of heretics, if they would amend, and for their punishment, if they would be willful and obstinate. And you shall hear the tenor and words of both. The superscription of the letter coming from the Privy Council was this: To our very good Lord, the Bishop of London, with diligence. The subscription was: Your Lord's loving friends, Francis Shrewsbury, Pembroke, Thomas Cheney, William Peter, Thomas Wharton, Richard Southwell. The words of the body of the letter were these: After our right hearty, etc. The superscription of the letter coming from the King's and Queen's Majesties was this: To the Right Reverend Father in God, our right trusty and well-beloved, the Bishop of London. The sign manual was Philip and Mary. The tenor was Right Reverend, etc. And lo, here is the signet put to the said letters. And whereby these letters coming from the King's and Queen's Majesties, it appeareth that their Majesties do charge my Lord Bishop of London and the rest of the bishops with remissness and negligence in instructing the people infected with heresy, if they will be taught, and in punishing them if they will be obstinate and willful. Ye shall understand that my Lord Bishop of London, for his part, offereth himself ready to do therein his duty to the uttermost, giving you knowledge that he hath sent to all the prisons of the city to know what persons are there for heresy and by whose commandment, and that he will travail and take pain with all that be of his jurisdiction for their amendment, and sorry he is that any is in prison for any such matter. And he willed to me to tell you that he is not so cruel or hasty to send men to prison as some be, slanderous and willful to do naught, and lay their faults on other men's shoulders. Wherefore my said Lord Bishop willed me to declare unto you that upon Wednesday next at 8 of the clock in the morning there shall be here at Paul's a sermon before the general procession, and that sermon being done there shall be a general procession through this city according to the tenor of the council's letters. And I do warn here this assembly, and by them all others of this city, to be present at the same. William Minge. The next day after Master Bradford and John Leith did suffer in Smithfield, William Minge, priest, died in prison at Maidstone, being there in bonds for religion, and like to have suffered also, if he had continued, the fury of his adversaries, whose nature was to spare and favor none that favored Christ's pure gospel, which William Minge, with as great constancy and boldness, yielded up his life in prison, as if it had pleased God to have called him to suffer by the fire, as the other good and godly men had done at the stake, and as he himself was ready to do so, if it pleased God to have him thereunto. James Trevisan, buried in the fields and summoned after his death. On the 3rd of July, 1555, died one James Trevisan in the parish of St. Margaret in Lothbury, upon a Sunday, who, being impotent and lame, kept his bed, for he could not rise out of it for a long time. This Trevisan had a servant, one John Smal, which read on the Bible. And as he was reading, Bird, the promoter, came to the house and would needs go up the stairs, where he found four persons besides him and his wife, to wit, the young man that read, and two men and a woman, all which folk, the said Bird, the promoter, there being apprehended and carried to the compter, where they remained about a fortnight for all the friends they could make. Moreover, the said Bird would have had also James, the lame man, himself to Newgate in a cart, and brought the cart to the door, but for neighbors. Nevertheless, the poor man was fain to put in two sureties for his forthcoming, for he could not go out of his bed, being not only impotent, but also very sick the same time. So within a few days, the said James, lying in extremity, the parson of the church, named Master Farthing, came to him, and had communication with him, and agreed well, and so departed. It happened, after the priest was come down into the street, where there met him one Toller, a founder. "Yea," saith he, "be ye agreed? I will accuse you, for he denieth the sacrament of the altar." Upon that the parson went to him again, and then the priest and he could not agree, and so the parson went to the Bishop of London and told him. The bishop answered that he should be burnt, and if he were dead, he should be buried in a ditch. And so when he died, the parson was against his wife as much as he could, neither would let her have the coffin to put him in, nor anything else, but was fain to bear him upon a table to Moorfield, and there he was buried. The same night the body was cast up above the ground, and his sheep taken from him, and he left naked. And after this the owner of the field, seeing him, buried him again, and a fortnight after the summoner came to his grave, and summoned him to appear at Paul's before his ordinary, to answer to such things as should be laid against him. But what more befell upon him I have not certainly to say. The history of Master John Bland, preacher and martyr, constantly suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The 12th day of July, John Bland, John Frankish, Nicholas Shetterden, and Humphrey Middleton were all four burned at Canterbury together for one cause, of the which number Frankish and Bland were ministers and preachers of the Word of God, the one being parson of Adisham, the other vicar of Rolvenden. This Master Bland was a man so little born for his own commodity that no part of his life was separated from the common and public utility of all men, for his first doings were there employed to the bringing up of children in learning and virtue, under whom were trained diverse towardly young men, which even at this present do handsomely flourish, in the number of whom is Dr. Sands, a man of singular learning and worthiness, as may well beseem a scholar meet for such a schoolmaster, whom I gladly hear for his name for his singular gifts of virtue and erudition. After this he, coming to the ministry of the Church of God, or rather being called thereto, was inflamed with incredible desire to profit the congregation, which may appear by this, that whereas he was cast into Canterbury for prison for the preaching of the gospel, and delivered once or twice from thence at the suit of his friends, yet would he needs preach the gospel again as soon as he was delivered. Whereupon he, being the third time apprehended, when his friends yet once again would have found the means to have delivered him if he would have promised to abstain from preaching, he stood in it earnestly that he would admit no such condition, notably well expressing unto us the manner and example which we read in the Apostle Paul, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or anguish, or hunger, or nakedness, or danger, or persecution, or the sword, etc.?" But to have expressed the whole life of and doings of this godly martyr, seeing we have his own testimony concerning the same, it shall be best to refer the reader to his own report, writing to the Father of the whole discourse of his troubles, from the beginning almost to the latter end, in order and manner as ye shall hear. A discourse of the whole process and doings of Master Bland, written and reported by himself to his Father in his own letter, as followeth. "Dearly beloved Father in Christ Jesus, I thank you for your gentle letters, and to satisfy your mind as concerning the troubles whereof you have heard. These shall both declare unto you all my vexations that have chanced me since you were with me, and also since I received your last letters. God keep you ever, your son, John Bland." Declaration of the troubles of John Bland, how and by whom he was apprehended and brought to his condemnation. First, the 3rd of September being Sunday after service ended, and, for I had put off my surplice, John Austin came to the table, commonly called the Lord's table, and laid both hands upon it, saying, "Who set this here again? Now they say they took the table down the Sunday before, which I knew not. Neither do I know who set it up again. The clerk answered that he knew not. Then Austin said, "He is a knave that set it here." I was then going down to the church, marveling what he meant, and said, "Goodman Austin, the Queen's Highness hath set forth a proclamation that you may move no sedition." And, or I could speak any more, he said, "Thou art a knave." And I said, "Well, Goodman Austin, that I have said, I have said." "By God's soul," quoth he, "thou art a very knave." Then my clerk spake to him, "But what I am not sure." But he said, "Ye are both heretic knaves, and have deceived us with this fashion too long. And if he say any service here again, I will lay the table on his face." And in that rage, he with others took up the table, and laid it on a chest in the chancel, and set the trestles by it. Wherefore I rode by and by to Master Isaac, and showed him the cause, both how seditiously he had spoken, and performed it with a like deed. Master Isaac directed a warrant to the constable, or boorsholder, which was incontinently served, so that he was brought before him the same night, and was bound by recognizance, with sureties, to appear, if he were called. But we agreed so well then, that it was never called for. The table was brought down, and was permitted as before. The 26th of November, being Sunday, Richard Austin and his brother Thomas came to the foresaid table, after the communion was done. And as I was going by them, Richard said unto me, "Master Parson, we have to speak to you." And I said, "What is your will?" And he said, "You know that you took down the tabernacle or ceiling wherein the rood did hang, and such other things. We would know what recompense you will make us, for the Queen's proceedings are, as you know, that such must up again." Quoth I know no such proceedings as yet, and as for that I did it by commandment. "No," said Thomas Austin, "you will not know the Queen's proceedings." "Yes," said I refuse not to know them. Then said Richard, "Ye are against the Queen's proceedings, for you say there are abominable uses and devilishness in the Mass." "Goodman Austin," said I, "if I so said, I will say it again, and God willing stand to the proof of it." "Masters all," quoth Richard Austin, "bear the record of these words," and went his way. Quoth Thomas Austin, "Thou wilt as soon eat this book as stand to them." "No," quoth I, "not so soon. Tell us," quoth he, "what that devilishness is that is in the Mass." "I have often preached it unto you," said I, "and ye have not believed it, nor borne it away, nor will now either, though I should tell you." "Thou," quoth he, "hast told us always, like a heretic as thou art. Now ye lie, Goodman Austin," quoth I, "by your leave." "Marry," quoth he, "thou liest." And I said, "And you lie, for I have taught you Christ and his truth." Quoth he, "Thou art a heretic, and hast taught us nothing but heresy, for thou canst say nothing that is true." "Yes, Goodman Austin, I can say that God is in heaven, and ye will say, I trow, that it is true, and so I have taught you truly." Quoth he, "Thou hast taught us like a heretic, and hast said that there is no devil in hell." "Well," said I, "lie on, methinketh you can say little truth." Many other taunts he gave, too long to write, and at the last he said, "Ye pulled down the altar, will you build it again?" "No," quoth I, "except I be commanded, for I was commanded to do it that I did." "Well, if you will not," said he, "then will I, for I am church warden." "I charge you," said I, "that you do not, except you have authority." "I will," said he, "not let you for your charge, for we will have a Mass here on Sunday, and a preacher that shall prove thee a heretic, if thou dare abide his coming." "Yes," quoth I, "God willing, I will abide and hear him, for sure I am that he cannot disprove any doctrine that I have preached." "Yes," quoth he, "and that thou shalt hear, if thou run not away ere then." "No, Goodman Austin, I will not run away." "Marry," quoth he, "I cannot tell. Thou art as like yea as nay." With many other words, we came out of the church door, and so departed. When the Sunday came, I looked for our preacher, and at the time of morning prayer, I said to the clerk, "Why do ye not ring? Ye forget that we shall have a sermon today." "No," quoth he, "Master Miles' servant hath been here this morning, and said, his master hath letters from my Lord Chancellor that he must go to London and cannot come." That day I did preach to them a sermon in his stead. Now they have slandered me, that I have prepared a company from divers places to have troubled him, but they agreed not in their lie. For some said I had them at Edesham, and that Richard Austin had knowledge and sent for the king's constable to see the peace kept, which is found a lie. Others said I had them lying in wait for him between Canterbury and Edesham. Others said I had them in both places, that if the one missed, the other should not. God forgive them all. Now upon these two matters they crack that they sent two bills of complaint to the council, wherefore by the council of friends I made this testimony, and sent it up by Master Wiseman. The behavior of John Bland, parson of Edesham in the county Kent, the Sunday, the 3rd day of December last past, 1553, containing the words which he there spake to the people, unto the people. Whereas upon certain communication had between the said parson and Richard Austin and Thomas Austin, in the presence of all the parish of Edesham, the Sunday before St. Andrew's Day last, the said Austin then declared that the said parson had taught there in times past great heresies, which to confound, they would prepare a preacher against the next Sunday following, if so be the said parson would abide and not run away. Upon which rumor, divers and sundry persons resorted out of the country unto the said parish church at the said same day appointed there to hear the preacher, and at the time which the sermon ought to be made, no man appeared there to preach. But it was reported unto the parson that the preacher appointed had urgent business and could not come, so that the multitude being now come together, the same parson, perceiving that the people's expectation was defrauded, said, "Forasmuch as you are come willingly to hear some good advertisement of the preacher, who now cannot be present, I think it not convenient to permit you to depart without some exhortation for your edifying," and so further declaring that he had no license to preach, said that he would not meddle with any matter in controversy. And then he began the epistle of the day, desiring the audience to mark three or four places in the same epistle, which touched quietness and love one to another. And there, briefly reading the epistle, he noted the same places, and so, making an end thereof, desired all men to depart quietly and in peace, as they did, without any manner of disturbance or token of evil. Witnesses, the undernamed, with divers others, Edmund Moores, Richard Randall, John Hills, William Forstall, Thomas Gooding. Another matter of trouble wrought against John Bland, as appeareth by his own narration. Upon the Innocents' Day, being the 28th day of December, they had procured the priest of Stodmarsh to say the Mass. He had nigh made an end of Matins ere I came, and when he had made an end of Matins, he said to me, "Master Parson, your neighbors have desired me to say Matins and Mass. I trust ye will not be against the Queen's proceedings." "No," quoth I will offend none of the Queen's Majesty's laws, God willing. "What say ye?" quoth he, and made as he had not heard. And I spake the same words to him again with a higher voice, but he would not hear, though all the chancel heard. So I cried the third time that in all the church heard that I would not offend the Queen's laws. And then he went to Mass, and when he was reading the epistle, I called the clerk unto me with the beckoning of my finger, and said unto him, "I pray you desire the priest, when the gospel is done, to tarry a little. I have something to say to the people." And the clerk did so. And the priest came down to the stall where he sat, and I stood up in the chancel door and spake to the people of the great goodness of God always showed unto his people, unto the time of Christ's coming, and in him and his coming, what benefit they past, we present, and our successors have. And among other benefits, I spake of the great and comfortable sacrament of his body and blood. And after I had declared briefly the institution, the promise of life to the good and damnation to the wicked, I spake of the bread and the wine, affirming them to be bread and wine after the consecration, as yonder Mass book doth, saying, "Holy bread of eternal life, and the cup of perpetual salvation," so that like as our bodily mouths eat the sacramental bread and wine, so doth the mouth of our souls, which is our faith, eat Christ's flesh and blood. When I had made an end of that, I spake of the misuse of the sacrament in the Mass, so that I judged it in that use no sacrament, and showed how Christ bade us all eat and drink, and one only in the Mass eateth and drinketh, and the rest kneel, knock, and worship. And after these things ended, as briefly as I could, I spake of the benefactors of the Mass, and began to declare what men made the Mass, and recited every man's name, and the patch that he put into the Mass. And ere I had rehearsed them all, the church warden and the boar soldier, his son-in-law, violently came upon me, and took my book from me, and pulled me down, and thrust me into the chancel, and with an exceeding roaring cry. Some cried, "Thou heretic!" Some, "Thou traitor!" Some, "Thou rebel!" And when every man had said his pleasure, and the rage was something past, "Be quiet, good neighbors," said I, "and let me speak to you quietly. If I have offended any law, I will make answer before them that are in authority to correct me." But they would not hear me, and told one on this side and another on that, and began again. Then Richard Austin said, "Peace, masters, no more till mass be done," and they ceased. Then said I to the church warden and poor soldier, either holding me by the arm, "Masters, let me go into the churchyard till your mass be done." "No," quoth the church warden, "thou shalt tarry here till mass be done." "I will not," quoth I, "but against my will." And they said, "Thou shalt tarry, for if thou go, thou wilt run away." Then I said to the boar shoulder, "Lay me in the stocks, and then ye shall be sure of me," and turn my back to the altar. By that time Richard Austin had devised what to do with me, and called to the boar shoulder and the church warden, and bade them to put me in the side chapel and shut the door to me. And there they made me tarry till mass was ended. When the mass was ended, they came into the chapel to me, and searched what I had about me, and found a dagger, and took it from me. And then said Thomas Austin, the church warden, after many brabblings that they had made with me, "Thou keepest a wife here among us against God's law and the Queen's." "Ye lie, goodman Austin," said I. "It is not against God's law, nor, as I suppose, against the Queen's." Thus they brought me out of the church, and without the door they railed on me, without pity or mercy. But anon the priest came out of the church, and Ramsay, that of late was clerk, said unto them, "Sir, where dwell you?" And wherewith Thomas Austin took him by the arm and said, "Come on, sir, you are of his opinion," and took his dagger from him and said, "He should go with him." "I am content," said he, and a little mocked them in their envious talk. By this time there came in at the church stile one John Gray of Wingham, servant to John Smith, and seeing them hold Ramsay by the arms, said to him, "Here now, how now, Ramsay, have you offended the Queen's laws?" "No," quoth he. "Then there is no transgression." Therewith Thomas Austin took him and said, "Ye are one of their opinion, ye shall go with them for company," and took his dagger from him, and then demanded what he did there. But after, I think, for very shame, they let him go again, but they carried me and Ramsay to Canterbury with 18 persons weaponed. A sheet of paper will not hold the talk that we had that night with Master Hardy's Justice, Master Oxenden, Master Spillman, and Master Tootsum. The next day they made a bill against me, but it served not their purpose, which was that they would have had me to prison. But James Chapman and Bartholomew Joyce were bound in 20 pounds, either of them, for my appearance at the next general session, or in the meantime to appear, if I were sent before the Queen's Majesty's Council, or any other commissioners sent by the Queen's authority, and Ramsay had bound to the peace, and to be of good behavior till the next sessions. His sureties were Thomas Hodgkin and Simon Barrett. Now the 23rd or 24th of February, 1554, Sir Thomas Finch, knight, and Master Hardy sent for me and my sureties to Master Finch's place, and took me from my sureties and sent me to the castle of Canterbury, by Sir Thomas Moyle's commandment, they said, where I lay 10 weeks, and then was bailed and bound to appear at the next session holden at Canterbury, but after they changed it to be at Ashford on the Thursday in Whitsun week, being the 19th of May, but in the meantime the matter was exhibited to the spiritual court.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.